Amen. Amen. Angels were dispatched and to Jesus' rescue. Have you ever gotten weak? And you felt like you wasn't going to make it? Amen. And that's why I'm praying. Amen. All you got to do is pray. And don't think you got to have the words right. We'll get to that. But pray, and God dispatched an angel. The Bible says an angel came strengthening Jesus. Even Jesus needed prayer. You know you must need prayer. Amen. If Jesus had it to pray, amen. And then oftentimes we're weak in our faith and we're not strong. We don't have a strong foundation. And we need to be solid. We need to stand firm for the Lord. Amen. And Ephesians 6:8, after you put on the whole armor of God and all those parts, the Bible says that you ought to be praying always in the Spirit. And Paul says, pray for me. Paul says in verse 20 that I'm an ambassador of Christ, that I might speak boldly as I should, that I might share my faith like I should. Paul said, I'm a preacher. Paul needed prayer. Jesus needed prayer. Don't you think you need prayer? If giants like that can pray, we're going to deal with Paul next week. Amen. The blind man. He had to go blind before he knew what the Lord wanted him to do. We're going to deal. I started to deal with it this morning. I may deal with it next service, depending on how this goes. But the thing is that you got to have that solid foundation under you, a strong foundation. Paul says, I'm an ambassador for Christ, and I need to speak the word boldly. Paul said, don't let me get weak on the Lord. He said, y'all pray for me because I get intimidated out there trying to share my faith. And he said, pray that the Lord, that I will speak boldly as I ought to speak. Yes. That's what he says. And then I mean, you can pray for anything. Amen. Amen. You can pray, amen, for a 100-year-old man to get a 90-year-old woman pregnant. See how hard that sounds? But you can pray for anything. You can pray for anything. If it's God's will, it ain't too hard. If it's God's will, is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's what Abraham was told. He said, man, I'm 100 years old. And you told me I'm going to have children? Yes. Is there anything? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, fill in the blank. Is there anything? Pray about everything, and everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Pray about everything. Any and everything. Just pray. Talk to the Lord because he's waiting. Amen. He will hear your faintest cry. I'm here to tell you that he will answer by and by. But you got to be right when you pray. You can't just come before God sideways. Amen. You can't come before God sideways. Amen. 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 You've got to, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Bible says God won't hear my prayer. If I'm not acting like I ought to, living like I ought to, then my prayer is not, God ain't going to hear it. Amen. God gonna shut the door on you. Amen. And one version says it this way. If I had ignored my sins, the Lord would not have listened to me. A lot of folk don't understand. They got to get themselves right before they go to stumbling in the presence of God. God will answer your prayer, but you got to get yourself right. Amen. Amen. You can't regard iniquity in your heart. You're doing something you shouldn't be doing, acting the way you shouldn't be acting, and you think God's going to be answering your prayer or that he's going to work with your prayer. Amen. Amen. But God does answer our prayer. It may not be yes. It may be no. Amen. Or it may be grow. Amen. He may want you to sweat a while. Amen. Before he answers. You may need to grow up. Amen. Amen. It may be, amen, wait. But he's going to give you an answer. An answer doesn't mean that it's yes. And what you want, as we want to show us this morning, is that we want his answer. Amen. Amen. We want his answer because the Bible says, if I ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will. That's when he hears us. I don't pray according to the Lord. It's not that I go into God's presence and say, Lord, do this, do that, and do that. And then I say, Lord, I need a job. I need that. Just quit. I need the kids to quit acting crazy. And I want to get, I need some more raise over here. And I'm trying to do this. So, God, here's my list. Fix it. And I'm going about my business. That is not, prayer is not an exercise by which you talk God into doing what he doesn't want to do. Lord, I want this job. Well, I may not want you to work over here. I might want you to work in Nebraska somewhere. I'm not going to open that door because that ain't where my will is for your life. We have got to seek God's will. And if you don't, you can't have confidence in your prayer. This is the confidence I have if I ask anything. Amen. Amen. If I ask it, amen, according to his will, then he hears us. So my heart's got to be right. My prayer's got to want his will. And then I'm set then for his will. Because notice when he said that we looked at this text and we found out that everything is groaning, amen, in the world. Amen. The groaning, there's a lot of groaning going on. Amen. If you look in, amen, we found out in verse 22 that the planet is groaning. We found out in verse 23 that people are groaning. The planet is groaning because it wants to be delivered because it's under a curse. We got thorns and thistles, and that's not the way that it is supposed to be. It is supposed to have no thorns. Roses shouldn't have thorns. We should not have weeds. Amen. Paradise does not look like Austin. It's under a curse now. And your Bible says that the whole creation, the whole planet is waiting. The animals, the rats, amen, the trees, the grass, amen, is waiting, is groaning. Not only that, we groan. People groan. Amen. But it's scriptural to groan. Amen. Amen. It's Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:5, that in this body we groan. It's aching. This old arthritis sometimes body. This body groans and aches. So the planet is groaning. In verse 22, the people are groaning. In verse 23, as well as 2 Corinthians 5:5. But it also says that the spirit is groaning in verse 26. Amen. Likewise, the spirit helpeth our weaknesses or infirmities. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. And what happens? We don't know what to pray. But the Spirit maketh intercession, or is interceding for us with groanings. Now that the Spirit is groanings that cannot be put into words, cannot be articulated. Amen. And what it does is it finds out what God intends to happen. Not what you want to happen. It finds out what God intends to happen. And therefore, that's why we talked about the intent. Amen. We talked about prayer is important. We talked about the inarticulation that we have in prayer. Sometimes we can't put our thoughts into words, and we just get all mixed up, and we say, oh, Lord, Did you understand that, Lord? Well, the Holy Spirit takes it, and he said, this is what. And you don't know what you want, and then you don't know what God's will is, so the Spirit takes it from there. And he takes your prayer, and he tells the Lord. He takes that groan, and he interprets that groan. Amen. Some people claim that this is speaking in other languages, but not everybody speaks in tongues. According to, I think, 1 Corinthians 12:40, he said, do all speak with tongues? So it can't be speaking in tongues here. And he says that, he said, this is groanings that cannot be uttered. And notice what he says as we get ready to close. And he, verse 27, that searches the heart. The Holy Spirit searches the heart. And the Holy Spirit that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you knows what's in God's mind, and the two connect. And he interprets that and he tells God, Lord, this is what they trying to say. And I know this is your will for their life. So here's the answer they going to get. Have I got a witness? Here's the answer they going to get. Amen. That's the way prayer is supposed to work. Eugene Peterson, an aim is that which is the intent is the aim or the plan or the purpose. You find God's purpose. You find the intent. Amen. Lord, this is what they intend to say. Amen. They don't know how to put it into words, and they having so many problems. They got so many pain. They got so many, and they got to press through the tears. And God said, I'm gonna take all of that you, and you've got to want my will. And you say, Lord, now give me the strength to deal with whatever you say. Eugene Peterson says it this way: if you don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. Amen. He does our praying in and for us. Making prayer out of our worldly sighs and aching groans. It doesn't matter if you know what to pray for as you ought. He will take that and he will change it around for you and make it what it ought to be. So you just need to go on and groan. Amen. Gone and grown. Amen. Grown anyway. Amen. 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 Grown and grown. Because when we think about the intent, you got to think about the purpose. That's what you got to think about. When you think about the intent, you got to think about the purpose. Amen. And when you think about the intent, you got to think about the participation. When you think about the intent, you got to think about power. The intent. The purpose. Well, when we look at the purpose, what we find, your will got to be his will. And the psalmist said, I delight to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart. Amen. You see, some people say, well, won't God give you the desires of your heart? Yes, he will, but your heart ought to have changed. You're not praying for a Mercedes Benz, and I'm not mad if you got one. Get one if you can, if the Lord bless you with it. You can do whatever you want to do with your money as long as you don't do it with his money. You can drive up in whatever you want to drive up in as long as God is getting his. As long as I didn't buy it with somebody else's money, I can drive what I want to drive. The question is, do they tithe? Is God getting his money? I ain't come to talk about tithe. The thing is, he says, the psalmist says, I delight to do thy will. Amen. Do you delight to do God's will? You got a delight to do God's will. If your heart is right, you'll delight to do God's will. Amen. And then when you pray, God's will be coming to pass. God's will be coming to pass. Because, ladies and gentlemen, why pray? The purpose of it? Because what you got to understand is that prayer is spiritual warfare. Now, you may not think you need any. Amen. But the fact of the matter is that we are in a world by which Satan, I didn't get all of this on the screen, but when you think about, there is a spiritual battle going on in the unseen world. And I'm going to talk about it next week when I talk about Paul. But the thing is, there's a spiritual fight going on. There is a spiritual fight taking place. And when you look at Daniel 10:20, what you find out is Daniel was praying. You know, Daniel was a man who prayed three times a day. Anybody knew anything about prayer, Daniel did. And Daniel says, when the angel took him 14 days, 3 weeks, I think, to get to Daniel. And when he got there, he said, Daniel, man, I heard your prayer weeks ago, but I was fighting with a demon. You read it. He said, I was fighting with a demon. And Michael the archangel, what you begin to find out in verse 21 of Daniel 10, Michael the archangel was fighting with the prince of Persia. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And he was fighting against the prince, the chief demon over that city, national demon. You see, we got some national demons. And Michael the archangel told him, look, when I get through fighting with the prince of Persia, then I got to go fight the prince of Greece. These countries are ran by demons. Satan has a divine hierarchy set up. And this gets local, church. He gets folk in office. That's why legislation is important. Voting is spiritual. Because you're putting Satan folk in office if you don't vote. They can get in office and the world will be controlled. I said last week about Brother Hurd. His son, he's here today. His son passed away. That funeral was here. And one of his battle buddies talked to him about, man, let's get out of the military. And he said, look, we got to fight evil in the world. That's what I remember him saying. We got to fight evil in the world. And the people on the battlefield are only dealing with the physical. But the local church deal with the spirit behind the person. See, you can lock him up all day. But if you lock a devil up when he get out, he's still going to be a devil. He's still a devil. You can handcuff the devil. But behind him is a spirit. Oh, we ain't got time to talk about all the stuff that's going on in this world. Amen. If people say, well, you can't legislate morality. You can legislate sin. Don't they legalize gateway drugs? All this stuff is the devil behind the scene, the spirit of darkness behind the scene, legislating gateway drugs, legislating prostitution, legislating drinking. All these things are demonic. The church deal with the people behind the problem. The police deal with the people with the physical problem. It's up to us to get with the source of the problem is spiritual. And that's why prayer is so important. Prayer is extremely important, and we must pray. And you can't get discouraged and not pray. Think about all the things that are going on in the world. We have marriages are under attack. Have you noticed that not many people are getting married anymore? A lot of folk that's been married say, if I did, I'm not getting married no more. The first institution, God's first holy institution, is falling off, is fading out. Matter of fact, society, Satan got this society so messed up, there are no men to marry. The whole thing is in a free fall. The whole thing is gone bonkers. Everything, men are not men like they used to be. They're not available like they used to be. The more women become liberated, the more men thin out. And now they beat them into submission. Then they turn around and say, I want a man. Well, you made him soft. Your society said we want a man that is like the woman. I'm not saying you should be mean, but you should lead. But we want 50-50. Well, now he like you. Now what you looking for? I'm looking for a real man. Somebody that... Well, I thought you wanted everybody to be... This is what's messing up. And the men's egos are being challenged, and they're just walking off the scene or just finding somewhere to find some pleasure. But other than that, I ain't got to do much. Morality is falling down in America. No, there are no more rules. You don't have to have rules to get relationships no more. You can just get them anywhere. Do anything you want to. Oh, I could get ugly with this morning. The fact of the matter is, this thing is getting bad. Marriage is under attack. The home is under attack. You ought to have prayer in the home. A family that prays together, stays together. You ought to not wait to get to church to worship. You ought to be worshiping at home. At least have a prayer meeting once a month if you don't have it every week. And you ought to pray because we are under attack. Amen. 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 The society is under attack. Amen. We got shootings all over the place. Amen. Folk. Massive, amen. Somebody got the spirit of just shooting folk up. Gotten in a shooting season. Just killing a lot of folk. Just go ahead and kill up everybody. Suicide spirits, folk killing themselves. Amen. Rich, got all the money, they got everything they need, and they killing themselves. What happened, Lord? Demons. The power behind this mess is spiritual, and we need to recognize that they just sung about spirit, that those things which are spiritual. Amen. The schools that took prayer out, and we now they got school shootings. Prayerlessness in schools. Amen. The churches are, I'm rushing this, divided and split, and Satan has divided the church, and even the demons come right in the church and shoot up the church. And then you got folk at church that don't think they need prayer. We need to recognize that we are living in a world that prayer is needed. And you say, prayer ain't that important. Well, we sure know how to find prayer when something go wrong. Amen. If you be consistent. If we ain't going to pray, let's just never pray. But by no means are we going to pray after the whole school gets shot up. Now everybody in a corner, out on the ground. I was looking at something, and this day I watched the news, but I don't watch anything else. And somebody had gathered because somebody had gotten shot up or something. I forgot what, something went on. And everybody out there on the ground praying. Amen. Prior to that, you can find none of them folk probably at prayer meeting. We need to be proactive, not reactive, in our spiritual life. The world is going down the tubes. The evil in the world, there's a force moving through this world. People are getting in office, legislating things. They down there voting on stuff, passing laws that are anti-biblical. They're not biblical laws, y'all. And we're in a mess, and it's getting worse. In the meantime, the church is not on their knee. What can fight that devil? Prayer. It's going to take prayer to get this thing fixed. And we better do it quick and quit just using prayer as a panacea or an emergency experience. Let me get on. The truth of the matter is we need prayer. Prayer is important. Amen. 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 Prayer. And that's what's so sad about the churches. They don't come to church like it's almost like we don't need nothing from the Lord. Everything's fine. We don't need to pray. But when 9/11 hit, everybody's at prayer meeting. National prayer emergency. Oh Lord, prayer is the. If we'd have used prayer before that, we wouldn't have had the emergency. And that's what I'm trying to get us to understand here this morning. You see, prayer, the Holy Spirit, Spirit comes in the church when there's prayer. And everything becomes easier. Have you noticed? Until it's when the Spirit comes that you really start having church. Before that, everything's hard. Can't get the song right. Can't get the sermon right. Can't get this right. Folk won't act right. Let the Holy Ghost come in for just a little bit. Everything is easy. You can pass the mic around. Everybody can preach. Amen. You can... Amen. Ain't nothing hard no more. The Spirit is easy to love. It's easy to do everything in the Spirit. And a church that does not pray doesn't have any power. I'm going to talk about that next week because change is necessary. Amen. But you got to understand, just like prayer changes things, change people change things. Don't get the idea that you're going to get some change and people ain't changed. Oh, I'm getting on in the other sermon. The fact of the matter is, prayer is what it's going to take. As I rush briefly through this last thing, we need to pray because prayer works. And the thing is that prayer is important. Prayer is spiritual energy. I feel like I'm exhausted. I challenge you. But you got to have a problem. And we all got them, amen? I want you to get in a bind. I want you to get backed up in a corner, get your back against the wall. And I'm going to challenge you to do something, and that is to go and pray. You may, if you work, go to the bathroom. I don't know. Do whatever you got to do. Go somewhere and get in a closet. Amen. Amen. And this is a personal prayer. You know, there's public prayer in that church, but then there's personal prayer. We ain't going to get into that today, but I was going to, but I ain't got time. Personal prayer is not what you pray in the public. Your personal life is something you pray in private. You don't go out and tell everybody your business through your prayer. public prayer. You're praying in a public setting. Invocation, you are invoking the Spirit of God, invoking the presence of God. Well, the fact of the matter is, you need to pray, and God calls us to pray. Prayer works, and get down on your knees and pray, and all of a sudden you're going to find out that God, things will start working. That problem, God will take you through that problem. He will give you what you need. I just need you to get on a bind. That's all you need to do. And go pray. And before you know it, things start changing. But when we pray, he said, you run it by the Spirit first. And the Spirit knows what's in the mind of God. And if God approves it, if God accepts it, then everything is all right. Let me get on. But then there must be participation in prayer. There must be participation. The psalmist says, I'm going to pray evening, morning, and noon will I pray. Three times a day. Some folk don't pray once a day or once a week. Some folk don't pray unless they have an emergency experience. They got an emergency prayer they pull out. Amen. Now, God will respond to the emergency, but how much better to be proactive than reactive? The psalmist said three times evening, because for Jews, the day started in the evening, not in the morning. So it started at 6 o'clock in the evening. Amen. And evening in the morning was the first day. The second day, you read Genesis. But he says, I will cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You say, well, Matthew 6:8 says, God knows what you have need of before you ask. So why ask? God, why don't you just do what you need to do and leave and let me go on and do what I need to do? There must be participation in prayer. Tell your neighbor, prayer is like opening your hand. You see, you need something from the Lord, but you got to open the door for him to come do it. You got a part, you got to participate in that prayer. And you got to lay the platform for him to do something. God does not just go around not having a relationship with folk, and they just want to. You ever had some folk that want you just keep everything running, but don't talk to me? You ever been in a relationship where somebody say, you know, we're married, but I don't like to talk? God said, I'm going to fix it where you're going to talk to me. Because there are going to be some things in life you can't do nothing about, and you're going to have to talk to me. You can't make it. I can make it without you. But you can't make it without me. You'll be back. You'll need me before I need you.